thing I, since we have a baptism, I like to speak on the subject of baptism. So, it's kind of a hard subject to speak on one hand, because you cannot just turn to one section in the Bible, because it's all scattered through the New Testament. So, we'll do a little bit of reading, and I subdivided it in 3 points, just to make it a little easier for you to understand. Now, the first time we have Christian baptism mentioned in the Bible, as far as I know, is Matthew 28, the Great Commission. So we'll start reading there. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And then Mark 16 for 2 verses, which is actually also part of the Great Commission. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said, that's the Lord Jesus, said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, I like to subdivide my subject about baptism. The first thing I want to look at is the practice of baptism. The second thing, the meaning of baptism. Well, what does it mean? Well, you have to know what you're doing when you get baptized. And the third one, the consequences of baptism. Now, baptism was part of the Great Commission. And when we think of the Great Commission, we always think about preaching the gospel. And that is, of course, the first and foremost and perhaps the most predominant thing of the Great Commission, as it says in Mark, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is for everybody. Doesn't make any difference who you are. And if you're here today and you're not saved, the call is still going out to you. Repent and believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's the call of the gospel. That's why the Lord Jesus came, to save sinners. And that's what's being preached all around this world. And many people are still being saved. And if you come to the Lord Jesus today as a lost, guilty sinner and acknowledge that, bankrupt before God, stop trying to save yourselves, and you surrender to him. I did it when I was 12. You can do it today. And you'll be saved forever. One transaction just takes a minute, just takes a moment. Born again by the Spirit of God. And then we find that part of the commission, and that's sometimes not emphasized enough, but part of the commission is to baptize. And that's what we have in Matthew 28, where it says there, Go ye therefore, and then it should read, and make disciples of all nations. So the Great Commission is not only preaching the gospel, but it's to make disciples. And how do you make disciples? You make disciples by baptizing them. That's how you make disciples. See, we often say, when a preacher goes somewhere, he preaches the gospel, he sees so many saved, and then he leaves and he lets them just float around, you know? It's not the fulfillment of the commission. So the thing that we can say here, conclude from here, is this. That baptism is part of the commission God gave to the evangelist. Now, the Bible is not all that clear as to who should baptize. It's maybe not all that important. But it's still part of the commission. And so I would say, in many cases, people have not been saved through the word of an evangelist. But if that be so, it seems most, as far as I can see it from the Bible, that the person that is most influential in your life, or one of them, in seeing you saved, and perhaps coaching you along, that's perhaps the best person to baptize you. Although for the rest, the Bible is silent about it. It certainly does not mean that you have to be some sort of a ordained man to do that. It's not in the Bible. So that's part of the commission. And where did the Lord Jesus say this? He took them back to Galilee, the place where he started out with them, where he chose those men to be disciples. He's actually saying, I made you disciples in Galilee at the beginning of my ministry. Now I'm going back there. Now I want you to make disciples for me. And he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's the context. Just before he goes back to his Father in heaven, he's rejected by the world. The world has cast him out. But he's received in glory. And that tells us a little bit about what baptism is about. And now I get into the meaning of baptism, of course. But baptizing, being baptized, is to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus after you have believed. Because going into the waters of baptism without being born again, you'll just go in a dry sinner, you'll get out a wet sinner. It's just plain H2O in the back here. It's not magic water. I don't think they did gave a spell over it, as far as I know. It's just plain water. And so baptism is a symbol. It's a symbol. And so at this moment, the Lord Jesus, he is rejected by the world. He's seen of his disciples, and he is about to go back to heaven. And so you follow a rejected Christ, being conscious at the same time that he is glorified in heaven and that he is coming again. So I just want to challenge here to those of us who, and we should be all witnessing of the Lord Jesus, all of us, it's not just for a few. We're not all evangelists, but the commission is to go out and preach the gospel. Not go ye out into all the churches, but go ye out into all the world. That's the commission. And part of that commission is to make disciples. And so I before I get misunderstood, because I've said that before, now what about a child that gets saved at 6 years of age? Should he be immediately baptized? Because that's another thing in the book of Acts, that there's 9 instances of baptism, and in every single one of them, they are baptized immediately. We have the 3,000 on Pentecost. They were repented, and they were baptized. Then you have the Samaritans in chapter 8. They believed, they were baptized. Then you have the eunuch of Ethiopia. He said, what hinders me to be baptized after Philip told him the gospel, and he believed it. And he got baptized the same day. Then you have Paul the Apostle. He got baptized as well in chapter 9. Cornelius and those with him. How can we forbid water that they should not be baptized? They got baptized immediately. Lydia in chapter 16 and those with her. The Philippian jailer and his household. They all believed and they were all baptized. And then the Corinthians in chapter 18, and then some disciples of John. Baptism follows salvation. And if you start separating baptism from salvation, like let's say you get baptized at one point and 5 years later you start thinking about maybe getting baptized. Now I know that can happen. That can happen. But if you're a child, it's probably better to wait till that child can make a conscious decision, him or herself. Otherwise, we start believing in household baptism again, or children's baptism. That's not taught in the scriptures. So a person that's baptized, he consciously takes that step himself. He knows what he's doing. But it seems to be in the book, or in the early, among the early Christians, that baptism immediately followed salvation. And in that context, you have to understand Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But then it doesn't say he that believeth and is not baptized. It says he that believeth not shall be damned. It happened one time in the church of C.H. Spurgeon. There's a lady that came to him after the meeting. He said, "You're always talking about baptism. What about a dying thief? Was he baptized?" And Spurgeon, he was never shy for words, he said, "No, yes, he was a dying thief. But if you're a believer and you refuse to be baptized, you're a living thief because you're robbing God of his honor." So I want to ask you, if you're a Christian here today, if you're saved, are you baptized? That's not an option. That's a command from the highest authority of the universe. Baptism. Become a disciple. Now, that doesn't mean that before you're baptized, you can't do anything as a disciple. But biblically speaking, baptism is the first step of discipleship. Okay? And they got baptized immediately. In Romans 10, we read, and that's perhaps you can read that beside Mark 16, verse 16. "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," or Jesus as Lord, that's what you do in baptism, "and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." See, in those days of the early Christians, like it is today in many Muslim countries and communist countries, if you were baptized, you were a labeled person. You were labeled. I understand I had a cousin last year that married a Chinese girl, and I had him on the phone here a while ago, and they told me that in China, that the communist government, the only ones they consider as being Christians are those that are baptized and associated with a Christian church. I think they understood it quite well, those communists. Because on earth, we are recognized as Christians when we have publicly taken our stand behind the Lord Jesus. Now turn to Romans 6, and I'll say a few things about the meaning of baptism. Romans 6. And we'll read the first 6 verses. "What shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into or unto Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." And then a few verses in Galatians. Galatians 1. I know there's many sections and verses in the Bible about baptism. Naturally, I'm not going to speak about them all. It's impossible. Galatians 1, verse 3. "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." Chapter 2, verse 20. That's a very good verse to learn by heart as a Christian. It's a beautiful verse. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Chapter 3, verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Chapter 4, verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. Chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Now, what does baptism mean? Baptism means that you identify yourselves with Christ in his death. It means, in Romans 6, those Romans were all baptized, those Roman believers. And Paul there, he's talking there about sin, about continuing in sin. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, of course not. But there were those, well, they said, you know, someday the Lord will come and it doesn't really matter what you do with your body. You can just keep on sinning and so God can extend more grace to you. Now, wait a minute, Paul says. Don't you remember what happened when you got baptized? What you professed in your baptism, what happened in your life on the inside. What happened there? He says you were baptized unto Jesus Christ. And that means to be baptized unto death. Baptism, folks, is identification. You identify yourselves with the person you're baptized unto. Because that's a proper word here. Baptized unto. You're baptized unto Jesus Christ. But the last time the world saw the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross. And you saying, okay, well, I'm a sinner by nature and a sinner by practice. Now I've been saved. And I want to take my public stand behind the Lord Jesus. I'm saying to the world and to everybody that sees my baptism, it's a public funeral, not private funeral. I am a sinner and I live in a world that is under the impending judgment of God. God is about to judge this world because they have cast out his Son. And I'm part of this world. That's the way the world looks at me. And I used to live like the world before I was saved. Now I want to disassociate myself from this present evil world. See, we not only need to be saved from our sins. We're familiar with that. But we also need to be delivered from this present evil age, from this present evil world. This system, of course, we're still in the world, but we are not part of the world. And so I separate myself from this present evil world that is about to receive God's judgment. And the only way I can separate myself from this world is by death. The only way you can leave this life is by death. But for me as a Christian, the only way I can go through death and be safe is if I associate myself with the death of Christ. That's the only safe place. Just like Noah and his family were in the ark. They were going through the waters of judgment. It meant judgment for the ark. It meant judgment for the world. And the ark is Christ. And so Noah, they also went through judgment. But they were safe in the ark. And that's what baptism is a picture of. That's actually what Peter says in 1 Peter 3, verse 21, I think it is. And so I associate myself with the Lord Jesus in his death. His death is the only safeguard for me. And now I say, when you come up out of the grave, I'm no longer in the dominion of sin. That's what it says in chapter 6 of Romans. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin and become servants to God And now we are to walk in newness of life, as it says in verse 4. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. That doesn't mean we're not going to sin. Of course we are going to sin. Well, I shouldn't say of course, because it shouldn't be of course. It should be the exception. But we know that likely happens every day. But we're no longer in the dominion of sin. We want to follow a Christ that is rejected by the world. We have thereby separated ourselves from an evil, from this present evil world, and we are following the Lord Jesus, who is coming again. And then we read in Galatians, and I just kind of like to leave that with you. In Galatians 2, verse 20, the Lord Jesus is my substitute in two ways. He died instead of me on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. But he lives forever on the right hand of God. And in that sense, he is also my substitute. It says, I am crucified with Christ. That's also what you profess in your baptism. You identify with him in his death. And then it says, nevertheless I live, because you have come out of the grave, as it were, with him. You're identified with him. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And so the life that I'm living now as a Christian, I'm really not living it myself, because I couldn't live a life of a Christian. Never make it. Couldn't do it. Christ has to live in me. And how is all that being done? It's through faith. Only through faith. But Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Perhaps there's someone here. You haven't come in the good of all that. Do you know that God loves you? He loves you. And you can know for sure that you're saved. It's not by rituals. It's not by rites. God never looks for your mechanical, ritualistic religion. He's looking for you. He wants to save you. And the only way he can save you is by you trying to stop saving yourselves and just surrender to him and allowing him to save you. That's why he gave his son. He gave his son. And he loved me and gave himself for me. It's very personal. He wants to save you. And so by faith, Christ lives in me. But then we read in chapter 3 of Galatians. It says, therefore, as many as of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. So Christ is in me, but then through baptism, Christ is on me. I've put on Christ. It's like putting a coat on. And that coat is Christ. I know the picture fails here, of course. And so the people see somebody, oh, that's another one of those little Christs, because that's what the word Christian means. Little Christ. Oh, there's another one. But if you're not baptized, the world can't see that. And of course, it's not just that moment of baptism that only takes a few minutes, but it's living the life of a baptized person, a life of being a confessor of the Lord Jesus, of taking your stand behind him as a disciple. So Christ is in me, Christ is on me. And then we find in chapter 4, verse 19, and that's a process of spiritual growth until Christ be formed in you. That's the purpose of God in spiritual growth. And then a fourth thing in chapter 6, we find that baptism means, I know it doesn't say mention baptism here, but baptism is what you express the truth in that verse through your baptism. That the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. It makes separation. A man that went out with his cross on his back to be crucified to the place of execution, he wasn't coming back. His life was going to be finished. It was all over. And so there's a division between the crucified person and the world. The world has no place anymore for the believer. They don't understand you. When you get saved, you become different. Sometimes spouses leave you because they say, that's not the person I knew him as before. Sometimes your friends or your relatives might leave you, and you don't fit in with them anymore. And so here I come to the consequences of baptism. And I want to just read a few verses on that as well. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34. Because as I said at the beginning, baptism is the first step of discipleship. Biblically speaking, I'm not talking now about children that are truly saved and following the Lord and they're not baptized yet. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking now here about the way the Bible speaks about baptism. The Lord Jesus said in Mark 8, verse 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And then chapter 10, verse 28. "Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee." It sounds as if he's saying now, you know, we've given all everything up. What's in there? What's in it for us? What are we going to get out of this? And the Lord said, and Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Salvation doesn't cost you anything. Free. $0. Nothing. Discipleship will cost us everything. That's the teaching of the Bible. And so, following the Lord Jesus, just like he gave himself, his revelation in this world, he came from the top and he went down. He knew that would be his way. He did it for you and for me. And now he's asking us to follow him. Are you ashamed of him? You know, we always try to explain away those verses, don't we? But I'm not going to do that this time. I'm going to leave it as it is. What does the Bible say? "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." One day the Lord Jesus shall come with all the angels and all the saints with him on the clouds of heaven. Every eye shall see him, but they will also see all those saints. We shall share in his glory. Now he's asking us to share in his rejection. And that's what baptism is all about. Are we living a life in accordance with our baptism? Does that mean that we will never fail? Of course we will. But if the general tenor of your life is that you're ashamed of the Lord Jesus, there's something wrong there. Something wrong. You say, well, you know, I've been thinking about baptism, but man, is it? It's an awful responsibility. You know, if I'm being baptized, man, I really got to live like it. Yes. But wouldn't it be worse if the Lord Jesus came today and you were saved? You'll go be with him. You don't get saved through baptism. You get saved by being born again. Wouldn't it be an awful thing to go into eternity with the Lord Jesus? I'm saying it, an awful thing. To be conscious of this fact, that you're associated with him forever in eternity, in his glory, but have never taken that place on earth in his rejection. I'd rather live with a few failures as a baptized person than go into eternity and never having done that because I was afraid I might fail. Isn't that true? So I want to ask you a question. What hinders you from being baptized? You're born again. You're saved. You can look back to a time in your life when you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now he's commanding you, be baptized. That might cost you everything. In this world today, there are millions of Christians that are persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus. Just yesterday, I read an article in Voice of the Martyrs magazine. Maybe some of you read it as well. In Iran, there were a bunch of police officers. They raided a house of a couple in an apartment. And they were looking through their stuff, and they saw on the little table a picture of the man being baptized. And they asked him about it. What's this? And he boldly confessed. That's when I was baptized. And since he was a Muslim before, they beat him with a steel cable. Well, you say that doesn't happen here. And thank God it doesn't. But you know, in those countries, on your identity papers, it says what your religion is, whether you're Christian. Would you want that identity on your passport, on your driver's license, on every single piece of ID? You go change your driver's license, you're stopped by a policeman, you go through the customs. Everywhere you go, you're being identified as a Christian. That's what it means to be baptized and be a disciple. There was one time a young fellow, he got saved, and he went to be a lumberjack in a camp out west. And the preacher said, if you go there, you might get some flack, you know, from being a Christian. So I warn you, it's kind of a rough place. He came back after a few months, and the preacher asked him, how did it go? Oh, he said, it went pretty good. I didn't have any problems. They never suspected anything. Are they suspecting anything of you and of me? Do they know they're a Christian? Baptism takes a few minutes, but it takes a lifetime to live according to our baptism, to what we professed in our baptism. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you for the Lord Jesus. And we pray, Father, for these dear folks that are taking the step of baptism. We pray, Father, that the Lord Jesus may be honored in this event, in this happy occasion, as they identify themselves with the Lord Jesus in his death and in his burial. Father, we pray that they also may live a life in accordance with their baptism and that we all may do this. Many of us have been baptized a long time ago. And Father, we pray be with each one of us and also with those that baptize these young and these new Christians. Father, we pray these things in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.